Welcome everybody to Conversations with Doc Martin. This video series focuses on extraordinary people doing extraordinary things. Please don't forget to hit the subscribe button and click the notifications so you don't miss our next guest. Today, we're joined by Dr. Kyle Stanley, who has been named one of the top 10 young educators in dentistry, one of the world's top 100 doctors in dentistry. He's a researcher who's published in some of the top dental journals about topics relating to aesthetics, implants, and plastic surgery, and maintains a private practice in Beverly Hills, where he focuses on implant surgery and prosthetics. Not only that, with his company Pearl, he is changing the way patients are treated through artificial intelligence and is a leader in this field as well. However, we're not here today to talk to Kyle about dentistry or teeth. Kyle is actually a leading advocate of mental health in our field and offers a course and a community to those in dentistry called the Light Side. And that is why Kyle is joining us here today. So welcome to you, Kyle. Thanks for joining me today.
Thanks. Thanks for having me and the nice introduction.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to talk to you. You know, we kind of ended up kind of getting to know each other through a mutual friend, and you and I very much share our love of mental health, very much share our love of positivity and the research behind it. So I'm kind of curious, you know, as somebody who is a very extraordinary clinician in our field who speaks about clinical topics on a regular basis, how did you get into becoming this person who talks about mental health in dentistry?
Yeah, I never thought that I would be the person to talk about this, but you know, I was at the top of my game, really. I was, well, at least I thought so. I was, you know, like you said, speaking at Seattle Study Club meeting and speaking at, you know, all the big implant companies, yearly symposiums and traveling around the world. And I thought I was really at the top of my game. And then I went through this really dark time with dentistry where I came home and told my wife that I wanted to quit and said, you know, I'm not going to do clinical dentistry anymore. It's just too stressful. Mm-hmm. I had some situations with patients and with staff, and I just realized, like, I can't do this. I know I can't do it 5 days a week or 6 days a week when I was doing it, but I may not be able to do this at all. And I started talking with a lot of people about this, and non-dentists did not get it. Non-dentists mm-hmm. just had no sympathy for me. You know, oh, you're a doctor. You have a nice car, you know, you're well-respected, et cetera, et cetera. But when I talked to dentists about it, they immediately got it. They immediately told me their stories. They, you know, would be crying, would be hugging me. And I realized that I needed to use the platform that I had to spread the word. Mm-hmm. And so because I was at the time speaking, you know, sometimes 40 dates a year, I just started like dripping in mental health. Mm-hmm. And it was a selfish thing for me. You know, it was, I needed to talk about it. And so like if someone brought me to their study club and I was supposed to be speaking for 6 hours, I'd do 45 minutes of mental health. Mm-hmm. And what I realized was that all of the other things I was talking about, whether it was guided surgery or smile design or whatever, no one cared about that. Everyone afterwards came up to me and talked to me about mental health and talked to mm-hmm. me about stress and depression and burnout. And I realized that this is an important topic that no one was really talking about, that I needed to do it. And it took COVID to really make that happen.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, certainly the pandemic has made everybody kind of take a step back and think about what's important to them and think about health and of course, mental health as well. And, you know, it's for those non-dentists listening to us, I mean, think about it. It's a college degree plus then 4 years of dentistry. Many of us did residency. I know you did one as well. And then you get out into the world and most dentists, you know, are six figures worth of in debt, and then they have to start a practice. And the pressures of dentistry, because we work in millimeters, can be extraordinary.
Tenths of a millimeter.
Tenths of a millimeter. It's extraordinary. And so it makes a lot of sense that we as dentists start questioning, you know, is this what I want to do? Is this right for me because of all the stressors there? And, you know, tell us a little bit about how you ended up going from talking to your wife where you're like, you know what, I really want to throw in the towel to having, frankly, the guts to get up in public and talk about these things. Because, you know, having been there and been on the stage and talk about, you know, depression and sobriety and all those kind of things, that's a scary thing. So tell us a little bit how you ended up overcoming some of those limiting beliefs about where you were and really blossomed into where you wanted to go.
Yeah, you know, I think my research background really took over. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see, like, first of all, am I the only one? And when I started talking with other people, I realized I wasn't the only one. And sure. Then I went into, like, you know, the actual scientific research, went on PubMed, very research-like, and mm-hmm. started looking for articles about this. Mm-hmm. And ended up finding that this is a very common topic for dentists. And, you know, for decades, people have talked about this, right? People have said, oh, dentists have a high suicide rate. Dentists have a high suicide rate. And I always heard that.
Right.
You know, even in dental school, I heard that. But I said, oh, what do you mean? All the dentists I look up to, they're so rich, or, you know, they're so successful. But I had to come realize that, like, you know, your brain doesn't care how many numbers, how many letters you have behind your name, how many dollar signs you have, you know, in your bank account. And I started going through research, and I went through this journey, which is actually what I take, I call the Lightsiders, the people that, mm-hmm. that are in my community. I take them through this journey where we identify problems, and then we get into specific problems. We define our purpose. We go through learning, you know, specific research proven ways how to avoid them, you know, some that I know you talk about. Mm-hmm. And then after that, we understand that stress won't be gone in our life, but that we have to understand it. And I basically went through this whole research, finding them, identifying them, finding my purpose, learning and thriving, that it worked for me. And I said, you know, maybe there's other people that would like to learn this as well.
Sure.
And it was, you know, I didn't know when I started putting this community together, I didn't know what it would turn into. And it's just blossomed into one of the most fulfilling things that I've done in dentistry, for sure.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. Being able to sit there and feel that level of gratitude for doing something that at one point in your life was such a source of angst. Oh.
Yeah.
That then becomes a source of light, to use a phrase that you've chosen to use for your course. Mm-hmm. Kind of curious, when you think about the dentists you interact with, because oftentimes when I'm speaking, I talk about the idea that dentists are people are dentists, and patients are people, and people are patients. And so if you understand the research, and you understand, not that you have to be a researcher, but if you understand what makes us tick, it kind of helps you navigate through those challenging waters. So I'm kind of curious, what kind of patterns have you seen, or what have you noticed amongst dentists that you engage and interact with? What are some of their biggest challenges that you've observed?
One of them is complications, mm-hmm. for sure. You know, not many dentists, there's a module in my course where I talk about being an overachiever. Mm. You know, you kind of have to be an overachiever in order to be a dentist, right?
You
had to do good in high school. You had to do good in dental school. You had to pass, you know, whether it was the SAT or the DAT mm-hmm. or the boards. I mean, you've got to be pretty good at some things, or at least hardworking.
Yep.
Many of us don't fail enough in our life. And so by the time we fail, it's in our profession, because everything eventually fails in dentistry, right? If they live long enough, it's probably going to fail.
Exactly.
And, you know, although dentistry has become so much more predictable with different materials and guided surgery and et cetera, there's things that are out of our hands, right? I mean, you know, a patient can still chew on a gobstopper or get in a car accident or whatever. And me personally, that was one of my biggest problems, was I did what I thought was the absolute research-based, you know, I was teaching at USC at the time. This is what we're teaching our students. I'm using the best materials, the best techniques, and it failed. And with that, my ego just plummeted. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, do I not know what I'm doing? Is this not the right profession for me? And then you have the interaction with the patient, like you're saying, well, you know, I paid $2,500 or whatever it is for this. Now what? Now do you, do we do it for free? Did they expect us to do it for free? Who pays for this? Mm-hmm. Who pays for the overhead? Who pays for the materials? So I think complications is one of the biggest. Mm-hmm. I would probably say number two is debt, especially in the United States.
Okay.
You know, the average dental school grad comes out with almost $300,000 in debt.
Yeah.
I was much more than that, like 425. I went to a very expensive school. Mm-hmm. And that's a big cloud over your head.
Sure.
Every day you're thinking about it. Every day, you know, you get out and you think like, oh, I'm a doctor now. Oh, well, I still got to kind of like save my money and, you know.
Yeah.
Even though most of us make pretty good money, right? Like you said, most of us make six figures or more. It's not about how much you make, it's how much is left over.
Exactly.
And with dental school loans and practice loans and, you know, equipment, and you add all this stuff in, there's not a lot left over.
Yeah.
And it can be a really stressful job. So number one, I would say that I've talked to is complications. Mm-hmm. Number two is debt. And number three, I think, is the lack of sympathy. And the lack of sympathy was something that was really hard for me. Like I said, I would talk to non-dentists and they didn't get it.
Yeah.
They didn't get it at all because, you know, like I said, we're well respected. We make a good amount of money. You know, we're doctors, et cetera.
Sure.
But when you talk to dentists, they sympathize.
Yeah, they get it, as the phrase goes. It's,
yeah,
you know, when a lot of times when you talk to certain groups, whether that be ethnic groups, whether that be, you know, certain groups that have been oppressed over the years,
right?
It's interesting when you find your people relative to who can really understand what it is you're going through.
Yeah.
Because you said it so eloquently. I mean, dentists, we live in this world where it almost feels like some of the times it can always be better. You know, we could have done this a little better, that a little better. And, you know, just it makes me think of just people in general. You know, if you think about the work of Carol Dweck, who's a PhD out of Stanford, she talks about the fixed mindset versus the growth mindset. And those that have a fixed mindset, we equate our self-worth with our accomplishments. And so when we have a complication, it's not that we failed, it's that we're a failure. And that's such a massively large pill to swallow, particularly when you have all this time invested and effort invested and money invested to kind of get you to where you are today.
And this is one of the biggest changes in my life, and one of the most important modules in the course is what we call our purpose module. Mm-hmm. And this is exactly what you said.
Yep.
Separating your profession from your purpose, right? Yep. And before I went through this dark time, it was exactly what you said. Mm-hmm. I'm a dentist. My goal is to be a dentist. I want to be the best dentist, the most successful dentist. So if I have a failure and my purpose is to be a dentist, I am a failure, like you said, right?
Yeah.
Once I separated that and realized that my profession is not my purpose, it's just my profession. It's how I make money.
Right.
It can be a hobby, you know, it can be like a passion.
Yeah.
It can't be my purpose in life, right? I have to have a higher purpose. And right now my purpose is playing tickle. Once I separated that, wow, that was a big change for me. And absolutely, I see the biggest change in the dentists that I've been able to serve in Lightside. Mm-hmm. A lot of times it's difficult for them.
Sure.
Because if they've been in, you know, 5, 10, 20 years and they think this is their purpose, they're like, wait, I don't know what it is, you know? And absolutely, that is a very defining moment, I think, that many dentists need to get to.
And absolutely,
you totally summed it up.
Yeah, it's almost as if, and this goes for everything in life, it's not just dentistry necessarily, but you end up in this momentum and you're in this place and you're supposed to be this thing, whatever that thing is. And it doesn't have to be a professional. It could be, you know, part of the family business. Maybe it's an auto parts store. Mm-hmm. And this is what I'm supposed to do. And then when you run up against these life challenges, it's really jarring, and it, frankly, it's really, really scary. And I love the fact that you're providing this community for people because it's a place that they can go. And it just, the level of recognition, it's kind of like admitting you have a problem, right?
Yeah, that's relative, right.
You know, you have to get to a point. I know Dr. Frank Spear often says something to the effect of, you know, people will go forward with change when the pain of not changing is too great versus the pain of changing, right?
Right.
And so it just becomes a point where you're living in this pain that is so over encompassing to everything you do that you literally can't take it anymore.
Yeah.
And so you look for something. So, you know, kudos to you for providing that to our profession.
Thank you.
I'm kind of curious, you know, you as a person, you said it changed your life and it made things better. And I love the pictures of your family on social media. And I love how you embrace, you know, your son and your family and how that time with him and your wife is so critically important.
Yeah.
And you were talking about separating purpose from profession. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Kyle Stanley is a person, that you're a whole being, you're a whole person. And so what can you share with us change within you and change within your personal relationships when you finally started separating out Dr. Kyle Stanley from Kyle Stanley, husband, father, brother?
Yeah. You know, one thing I think that was really nice was talking with my patients. Talking with my patients used to be convincing them how good I am.
Okay.
And now it's become convincing them that I'm a human.
Okay.
I think that as doctors, we're put on this pedestal that we don't make mistakes. Everything we do is great, you know, and even just from, you know, Joe Schmo off the street, they come in and they don't think that you could make a mistake or what you do could fail. And it used to be me saying, you know, we're going to place this implant and, you know, implants are great. They have 94, 97% success rate over 20 years. They're such an amazing replacement for teeth. And now it's kind of like, well, we're going to place this implant and it could fail. Mm-hmm. Even if I do everything right and you do everything right, it still could fail.
Yep.
And would you be okay with that? Because guess what? You're going to have to pay for it again. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to cover it because your body failed. I'll cover it if I made a mistake.
Sure.
But if something happened that neither of us can control, it's not my problem.
Exactly.
And what was interesting was I was so scared to do this because, you know, I've only been out for 10 years from dental school. I've been practicing. Mm-hmm. And when I first started, you know, going through this maybe about 3 years ago, you know, I'd only been out 7 years. So I was still relatively young. Talking with older patients and talking about failures, I was very scared. I was like, they're not going to do a treatment with me. They're going to go away. Mm-hmm. And what I found was that they became more comfortable with me and wanted to do more treatment. I felt like there was like a human connection. It took me off of this pedestal of being a doctor and just being a human. Mm-hmm. You know, a human that happens to be a doctor, I guess. But it made the conversation with my patients so much better and so much more relaxed, I would say.
That's fantastic. I mean, it almost feels like you were kind of being more transparent with them and being more humanistic with them, being more upfront with them. One of our guests on this show is Justin Patton, who's an executive coach, and he taught me the phrase, transparency builds trust. And so when you walk in the laboratory, isn't that cool? He's an amazing individual. He's become a good friend too. And when you walk in the operatory and you're like, hey, this is the way it is. This is what the research shows, but this is what can happen. And, you know, complications, even if they're, you know, 2%, that still means two people out of 100.
Yep. That's exactly what I say. You may be that 2%.
Right.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be that 2%. However, right. That may be in the cards for you at some point. And we need to have that discussion because, you know, knowledge foretold is wisdom, knowledge after told is an excuse, right?
Exactly right.
So it's kind of how can we be more transparent with our patients and frankly, more transparent in life so that all parties kind of understand where we're coming from.
Yeah, the other thing that happened with my interpersonal relationships was that I was projecting my purpose more. Mm-hmm. And so people understood, like, you know, they would say, hey, can I, you know, can we do an interview, you know, at 7 p.m.? And I would say, well, you know, that's my dinner time with my family. Mm-hmm. And say, oh, that's right. I saw that picture with your kid. And, you know, that's so great that you guys do this. Mm-hmm. And it's, for me, it's such a nice thing to kind of be known for, you know, being this family guy, right?
Yeah.
And it allowed other people to respect my purpose more and respect my time.
Absolutely. Well, you were setting boundaries, if you will.
Yeah. And that I didn't before.
Yeah. And I think in our society, just from observation, we live in such a fast-paced society. We're all way too, in my humble opinion, interconnected.
Yeah.
And, you know, the concept, you know, there's article after article after article about, particularly in the business world, that the trend is when you go on vacation, you don't go on vacation. And I have friends, I have many friends that we kind of travel together in groups. And it's really quite, it's sad in a way to see, well, I got to check my email. Well, yeah. You're on vacation. Like, what's right. going to happen? Is the world going to come to an end? And, you know, setting those boundaries and sticking to them becomes harder and harder in our society today. Yeah. And isn't it fascinating that you get accolades for literally standing up for what you believe in,
right?
Being there for the people that you love, mm-hmm. because at the end of the day, gosh forbid something untoward were to occur, it's not the people you work with necessarily that would be, it's your family and it's your friends and it's the people in your personal life. And sometimes there's some overlap there. And
sure.
It's so hard for people to kind of embrace that. And it's one of the things that I like to talk about myself as well. So I'm super excited that you brought that up, because self-care, boundaries, taking time for yourself, you know, we are a metabolic machine and we need energy just like everybody else needs energy. We need physical energy, we need mental energy. And when we run ourselves down, we're not good for anybody, right?
Yeah.
So I'm kind of curious, when you're talking to all these dentists, and I'm not so sure if you necessarily had the ability to observe this or not, but I'm curious to ask you this. When they're sharing with you their stories, have you noticed any patterns of like when things start to go a little bit askew in their lives?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I think that it's, from what I've seen, it's like the 7 to 15 year range.
Okay.
And I don't know if that has to do with midlife crisis kind of range, like, mm-hmm. okay, now people are getting kids and they're owning houses and, mm-hmm. You know, priorities are changing. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. in our course, we have people that are 1 year out and we mm-hmm. have people that are 40 years out.
Sure. So,
there's a big range.
Yeah.
But over the, you know, probably hundreds of doctors that I've talked to, from what I've seen, it happens around the same time, similar to when it happened with me. So with me, I was 7 years out.
Okay.
Because I think there's this transition where if you do the traditional style, like get out, associate for a few years, mm-hmm. then you buy a practice, let's say 3 years out.
Sure.
You're getting to the point at this 10 to 15 year range where you're making more money. Mm-hmm. You're loans are going down. If you can get past that point with your finances, mm-hmm. sometimes they can make it all the way through. Okay. But what the research is showing that most stress in the dental world happens like the first 10 years and the last 10 years of practice.
That makes a lot of sense.
Kind of grooving, you know, you figured out what's wrong. You figured out how to avoid complications. You figured out how to talk to staff. You're just like on the road, you know, you're probably mm-hmm. making more money. You probably have less debt. Mm-hmm. It's the beginning and the end, I think, where we have the most stress. The beginning is, you know, how I was doing it is like, oh no, I'm having my first complications. Oh no, I don't know how to run this business that I have. Mm-hmm. You know, oh my gosh, I still have so many loans. And then towards the end, it gets to, how am I going to retire? What am I going to do if I don't practice dentistry?
Absolutely. You know,
I lost my spouse or I lost my parents, a lot of big changes. So it's in these transition phases is what mm-hmm. I've seen.
Awesome. Yeah. And in the transition phases of these individuals, you mentioned earlier that it had a lot to do with complications, that it had a lot to do with like managing finances and so forth. Mm-hmm. What about that moment that you've observed? Because you end up working with people in your light side community that have finally gotten to the point where they're like, okay, enough.
Yeah.
And I'm just kind of curious, like, what kinds of things have you seen that people get to that point and they're just like, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah. So, you know, some examples from this last group is mm-hmm. associating and not having more of the younger docs, right? Mm-hmm. Associating, not having the autonomy, mm-hmm. not knowing which cases are going to cause problems, not knowing if they even want to be an owner doctor. Mm-hmm. That can be a difficult one.
Sure.
Another example is too fast of growth. We have a few docs in there that started their practice and within 2 years they're doing, you know, millions of dollars in mm-hmm. production. Mm-hmm. Their staff is growing. They have a wait list of patients that want to come in. And you think like, oh my gosh, that's every dentist's dream, right?
Exactly.
But you know, sometimes it's more money, more problems. And
it's true.
Some of these doctors are like, I just don't know what to do now. You know, I had to hire 30 people. And mm-hmm. we have a 6-month waiting list of people that want to do restorative treatment. What do I do? Do I expand? Do I raise my prices?
Absolutely.
So we get into a lot of practice management, actually.
Okay.
And talking about how to communicate better. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's great because it's a community.
Sure.
It's me giving the overview. And then after that, people come in and, you know, someone may say, hey, I'm having this problem in my practice. And another lightsider jumps in and says, I had that too. This is what we did. This is how I talk to my staff. This is how I talk to my patients. So it's become a cool think tank.
That's awesome.
Which I've really liked. It is truly a community.
Yeah. It sounds like a support group, so to speak.
Yeah. No. If you will. And you know, it's funny that was how this started. I had a friend and she's actually in the course mm-hmm. and I always thank her so much because 2 years ago, I think, when I was first posting about this, she said, mm-hmm. she called me and said, you know, Kyle, I'm going through this. I thought I was the only one. Thanks for talking about this. Would you ever think about putting together a therapy group or a mm-hmm. support group? And I was like, mm-hmm. who am I to do that? You know, like, right. I'm not a therapist, right. I'm just a right. dentist. And it took seeing the unfortunate suicides during COVID that people would send me because they knew I was talking about this topic.
Yeah.
Saying like, hey, my friend just committed suicide, or I heard of a female doctor or male doctor who just mm-hmm. committed suicide. My friend in Russia sent me something. Hey, my friend just committed suicide. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what? I've got to do something about this. Now's the time, you know, when we weren't working.
Mm-hmm.
And
sure.
I said, I just got to put this together.
And that's so amazing.
That's what
that's it's awesome. Yeah. So as we kind of draw this time together, we could go on for hours, but
sure.
as we kind of draw this to a close, you know, if you were talking to a dentist, which I know you do often, that's struggling, what advice? Well, I'm going to ask you two questions.
Okay.
Number one would be, if we take a step back, what would you say to somebody getting out of school as it relates to their professional journey to keep them on the light side? What kind of advice would you give the younger dentist?
Yeah, I would tell them to make some dental friends. I think that's an important step in this is you have to be able to talk to someone that has empathy for you.
Absolutely.
You know, ideally an older doctor that has already gone through this.
Sure.
And can be there and say like, you know, you look at me and think that I'm doing so well. I've been there. I've been through it. And this is what I did.
Absolutely.
Being understanding that there's a mental health component is just mm-hmm. one of the things that I didn't even think about.
Sure.
You know, I thought about physical health. Mm-hmm. I didn't think about mental health.
Absolutely.
So that's why I love talking to young doctors because I just want to get it in their atmosphere that, that this exists. They may go through this. I hope they don't, but they may. Those are probably the two biggest things is having some type of community and just being aware of mental health. You know, you can go down the rabbit hole of, I talk about something called DERMS, diet, exercise, relationships, meditation, and sleep. You can go down the rabbit hole on each one of those topics, right? How important they are. But just understanding that you need to think about mental health and it's a multifactorial problem. One of the things that got me through my difficult time was my dad and my brother who are dentists. You know, if I were to, even talking with my wife, she didn't get it. She's not a dentist. And she would say things like, all jobs have stress. You know, you're going to go to another job, you're going to have stress, which is true. You know, all jobs do have stress. However, these were very specific topics that I was talking about. And I'd call my dad and my dad would say, yeah, you know, I've been through that. I have patients just like that. My brother would say the same thing. And so having that small little community with just those two, dentists that I felt comfortable with talking about. I felt comfortable with talking about this topic. That really got me through that.
That's awesome. And then my second question is, you know, if you were to talk to a dentist or any kind of professional, frankly, who is in that, you know, 7 to 10 year range or even greater, and they feel like they're spinning their wheels and they've lost hope and they've lost their North Star. What would you say to that person? Like what, how would you help that person kind of put one foot in front of the other to kind of right the ship, so to speak?
Well, the first thing I would say is feel free to message me. You know, I've had a lot of doctors that have messaged me that don't have any community. Don't have, you know, a family member who's a dentist or a friend that's a dentist or a colleague they feel comfortable talking with us about. So just, you know, the easy thing is message me. I'm happy to talk to you. I think that that main thing is separating your profession. That was the biggest step in my personal change. And the biggest step that I see with the Lightsiders is as soon as you realize that you're not put on this earth to be the best dentist. It's funny how almost comical some of the problems you think of, like, oh, okay, the patient had sensitivity on that filling. All right, let's fix it.
It happens.
You know, like let's adjust the occlusion. Let's see if the contact is good. Maybe we need to redo the filling. Maybe I need to change my technique. Maybe the patient did something wrong. But it, once you have that separation, it's like you open the curtains and there's just that light there. It's like, oh, this is what it was supposed to be. And that was just such a turning point for me and a lot of my colleagues that I've seen.
That's awesome.
And thinking about what you want, I always say what you want your tombstone to be, you know, when you're gone and your grandkids are talking about you or, you know, your nieces and nephews are talking about you, what do you want them to say? I don't want my nieces and nephews to say, oh, Uncle, they call me Uncle Kaka. Uncle Kaka was the, was, you know, the best dentist. Oh my gosh. He did amazing preps. I don't care about that. You know, I want them to remember that, you know, we made music together and that we played outside and that, you know, I got on the ground and played toys with them. Like, that's what I want to be known for, not my profession. Because when I think of the legends in my family, you know, my grandparents, I don't say like, oh my gosh, my grandmother, wow, she was such a great bank teller. You know, we say like, gosh, she made the best banana muffins and he would rub my back while we watched TV, you know, and you think about their kindness and their generosity and nothing about their profession.
And we certainly need a little bit more of that these days, kindness and generosity. So
that's right. You know, one of the Lightsiders recently, we were talking just a few days ago and she said, I said, what is your purpose? And she said, I want to be known as a kind person. And she said, you know, but I don't really know. Is that even a purpose? Is that like enough? And I said, oh my gosh, think of if you're, and she was talking about her nieces and nephews. She said, I said, think if your nieces and nephews think, say, you know, Auntie, we'll make up a name, Auntie Dolly. Auntie Dolly was just the kindest person you've ever met. I mean, what a legacy to have.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Well, look, I want to thank you for your kindness and generosity in sharing your family time with us. We're filming this close to the dinner hour. So I'm going to go ahead and put your contact information as well as information about the light side in the comments below the video. I want everybody watching, please don't forget to subscribe and click the notification button. And lastly, I want you to remember something. I want you to remember that life speaks to you. And if you think it doesn't, you're not listening. So take care, everybody, and we'll see you soon. Thanks, Kyle.
Thanks. Bye-bye.